and especially the church, that this gospel be expressed, that this gospel be told. The telling of the gospel is called evangelism. And listen, and it's not just simply for the pastor, the minister, the deacon, the apostle, whatever, the bishop. No, no, no. It's for all of humanity, but especially the church. Those who say, yes, I do embrace Jesus as my Savior, my Lord, and my King. Then Jesus says, now tell somebody about me. Come on now. It should be a case where I am overwhelming in your life, Jesus says. So now tell somebody how good I am to you. This is the expectation. So again, it's not left to, per se, the church leadership. This is a responsibility for everybody, praise God. And we ought to think about it this way. The more we pursue Christ, the more we want to proclaim Christ. This is why, again, we started off with Bible intake, being able to get a hold of this word. You cannot lose sight of that. Get a hold of this word. Spending the time in prayer. Come on, worshiping him. Come on, we're pursuing Christ. And the more we pursue him, it ought to be something that's going on the inside of him. Like, I got to tell somebody. Like Jeremiah said, man, this stuff is in me like fire shut up in my bones. I can't hold this anymore. God is way too good. I got to let somebody know about it. And listen, if that does not happen, then the influence of Jesus begins to diminish. People are not hearing about Jesus, so people can't receive Jesus. And listen, we can't just simply, you know, depend and hope, you know, that technology would be the solution. Well, we're on television, we're on the internet, we're on the radio, so forth, so people have the opportunity. No. This thing's got to get up close and personal. When we start talking about now sharing this gospel, praise God. So, the Lord Jesus clearly expected this from the church. We see several examples in Scripture about it. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. Jesus now is speaking, you know, to his disciples, and he's telling them, says, now go and make disciples. Watch this. Go and make those who will embrace me as Savior, Lord, and King, and tell others about me. Come on now. Go and make those who now will develop, you know, spiritual disciplines to cultivate their godliness. It says, go and make others like that. He says, go and make others like that of all the nations. So I want you to go out and take this, you know, far and wide. Everybody needs to know just how good God is and what God has done for all humanity through Jesus. In Mark chapter 16, again, we see Jesus talking. Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Go into all the world and preach the good news, watch this, to everyone. People that you think you like or don't like. Everyone, listen, everyone has a right to the gospel. So it doesn't matter how we feel. We have a responsibility and a calling to go into all the world and to proclaim this good news to everyone. Here in Luke chapter 24, verse 47 says, repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name, Jesus' name, to, watch this, all nations. It says beginning at Jerusalem. But I want you to see now this proclamation that is expected from heaven for you and me. John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus says this, peace be with you as the Father has sent me. So I'm now sending you. I'm now sending you. What is he sending you and me to do? Proclaim this gospel. Proclaim this gospel. Proclaim this gospel. Come on now. Proclaim this gospel, praise God. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, And you will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere. In Hollywood, in Dania, in Broward County, Dade County, Palm Beach County, United States, the Caribbean, wherever you live. And to the ends of the earth. Now, we're going to come back to this. Because not only is there an expectation for witnessing evangelism for us, Jesus says, I'm going to give you some power to accomplish that. Now, the Spirit of God is extremely critical and vital for our everyday life, and especially our witnessing. You cannot be an effective witness without this power. You need this power. Oh, yeah, you need this power. We're going to come back to it, praise God. So now, let's make a couple of statements so we can, you know, understand. I shared with you that evangelism and witnessing is not just simply the responsibility of the pastor or the deacons or the ministers and so forth. It's everyone's responsibility. As a matter of fact, and I'll even say it this way too. Witnessing or evangelism is not the work of Jesus or the Holy Spirit or the apostles. It's not happening. It's not Jesus' responsibility. It's not the Spirit of God's responsibility outside of using us as a vessel. And it's certainly not the apostles. It is all of our responsibility. Here's a particular statement that I read and I like. It says this: the apostles will never come to your home, your neighborhood, talking about the original apostles, will never come to your home, your neighborhood, or to the place where you work. For the Great Commission to be fulfilled there, for Christ to have a witness in that remote part of the earth, a Christian like you must discipline yourself to do it. He says, if there's going to be a witness on your job, if there's going to be a witness in your community, the apostles are not showing up. Jesus is not showing up in a bodily form per se. The Holy Spirit is not showing up in a bodily form per se. He is counting upon the church, those who are submitted to him, to be that witness. And if we are not being a witness, listen again, if people are not hearing about the authentic Jesus, then what do they receive? They're left with all these other options, and there's plenty of options out here. And we have to make sure, as those, watch this, who yield to Jesus as Savior, Lord, and King, that we're not being quiet about him. This gospel is not effective when the church is quiet. So the question I want to ask is, why is witnessing avoided oftentimes, or at the very least ignored? Because a lot of times it's just flat out ignored. Other times it's avoided. I'm going to give you three particular reasons. One is this notion that we have to be perfect before we can say something. Because somebody be like, well, how are you going to tell me? Well, now, first off, if you're presenting the gospel, you're not trying to correct their behavior. See, so if you're trying to correct their behavior, you're not presenting the gospel. Don't present religion, present the gospel. And in presenting the gospel now of the fact that, you know what, through Christ, God has redeemed all of humanity unto himself, and he holds no fault against us. Baby, you know how much of a wreck I am. You know the parties and the clubs we used to tear up, praise God. So you know, if I'm telling you this, there's got to be some truth to it. That can be your message right there to the gospel, praise you. I said, you already know. And I'm not trying to stand here before you acting like I'm all perfect. But I do know this, how much God loves you. And the only way you're going to connect with this immense grace is through surrendering to Jesus as Savior, Lord, and King. That's it. That's witnessing the gospel. But so many get hung up on this, you know, ideal, this falsehood of sinless perfection. Listen, if you're waiting on the day in season where you just never, ever, ever, ever for the rest of your life make a mistake, call me when you get there. Just call me. I just want to know, because just call me. We're going to be working these disciplines till Jesus returns or we return to him. So listen closely. We cannot delay our witnessing until we reach this thing called sinless perfection. You can't delay it. And a lot of times people do. They kind of hold it off like, well, I don't think I'm ready. I don't think I'm ready. I don't think I'm ready. You were ready. Listen, you were ready the moment you embraced the gospel. The moment you embraced the gospel and it changed your life, you were ready then to let someone else know about it in that particular moment. Here's another reason, though. A lot of times, it's a fear of failure. Now listen, the way we are wired, everyone has a tendency to avoid activity that they constantly fail at. You just don't want to keep doing it. You might try, you know, for a minute, you know, depending upon your personality type, I'm gonna stay with us until I win it. Okay, that's great. But if it continues to go on, watch this, for months and years, eventually even that kind of personality says, you know what, I think I'm gonna stop doing this. And the church, unfortunately, approaches evangelism and witnessing that way, feeling as if, well, I tried it once, and the person looked at me crazy. And man, that didn't feel good. So then we kind of pulled back. Listen, the success of evangelism is not the response of the person, it's the obedience of the evangelist. The fact that you just simply are proclaiming his name. And what the thing you have to understand is sometimes you're right. You're going to witness to some people. You're going to share with them the gospel. And they're going to look at you, you know, crazy. But here's what you got to trust. I just planted some seed. I planted something in there. And Father, I'm trusting you now to send some laborers that will water it. And then you do what you know how to do, Father. You're the one that brings the increase. See, God is the one who draws men and women to himself, but he does it when, watch this, this gospel has been planted on the inside. And that's our responsibility, praise God. So, always keep in mind, don't allow feelings of failure of witnessing to stop you from being the evangelist that you've been called to be. Unfortunately, when we wind up avoiding failure like that, like in church settings, then people will kind of push their energies towards something else, church-wise, spiritual-wise, where they feel like I'm being more successful, I'm being a little bit more, you know, fulfilled. So you will see a whole lot of people that are willing to get out and watch this and help somebody else. Maybe do some cleanup like we do, you know, cleanup. You know, helping serve food, you know, all that's great. See, I can do that and I feel fulfilled and I feel successful, but let's be clear, that wasn't witnessing. That's not a substitute. And that's how it winds up getting treated a lot of times. Well, I do these things and that should be enough. And that's my witness. No. Come on now. Evangelism is communicating, verbally communicating the gospel. We haven't witnessed until we've gotten over to tell the story about what it is God has done for all humanity. And that the only way you connect with it is through Christ Jesus. We have not witnessed. We have not evangelized until we do so. So we got to make sure we press past these feelings of failure of witnessing and just recognize we don't have a responsibility of how the people respond. We just have a responsibility, watch this, to yield to our Lord, our Savior, our King, to let others know just how good he is. Yeah, absolutely. Whether someone takes it or not, that's on them. You can't do anything about that. Watch this, I'm going to mess with you here. I won't do that one. I won't do it. No. Don't you do that. All right, here we go. Now, here's another, you know, reason why witnessing gets avoided or ignored. And that is we've adopted a mentality that our example is enough. I just live a good Christian life, you know, before you, and that's enough. That's my witness. See, my life is an epistle. Come on, so we scripturalize it. My life is an epistle, so just watch what I do. Well, it's good. Watch this. Having a good example is really important, but it's incomplete without a proclamation. There has to come a proclamation. Let me share this story with you that I thought was extremely significant. I'm going to read it to you, a bit of an article. There's a particular Christian, man who became a Christian during an evangelistic emphasis in a city in the Pacific Northwest. When he told his boss about it, his employer responded with, "That's great. I am a Christian and have been praying for you for years." But the new believer was dumbfounded. "Why didn't you ever tell me you were a Christian? You were the very reason I have not been interested in the gospel all these years." So the boss kind of bewildered said, "Now, how could that be? I've done my very best to live the Christian life around you." "That's the point," explained the employee. "You live such a model life without telling me that it was Christ who made the difference. I convinced myself that if you could live such a good and happy life without Christ, then I could too." See, if you don't tell that it's Christ that's making the difference, everybody think it's just your personality, your strength, your hustle that's making the difference, your sense of goodness that makes the difference, your talent, your skill, your education that's making the difference, you're not preaching the gospel. So just simply having a good example, that's good, but you got to make sure people understand, here's why my example is so good. It's because of what God has done for me and all of humanity, including you, through Christ Jesus, and I chose to embrace that. And my prayer for you today is that you embrace it too. Come on, we got to let people know who really makes the difference. People should not walk away so impressed with us that they forget about Jesus. Just like, "Oh man, that pastor, he's something else." I really don't want people to say that. I want people to say, "Man, that Jesus the pastor talking about is something else." See, it's time out for us trying to make people impressed with us. Come on, let's help them be impressed with the one who saves their soul. Paul made it plain in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. "I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." Everyone who believes. Everyone who believes. The gospel, watch this, not our lies is the power. Praise God for our example. But some point from our example, we have to do some proclamation. If I could amplify this verse for you, I would read it this way, and I would amplify it this way. "I am not ashamed of proclaiming the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." And you better believe that's the heart of what the Spirit of God is saying here. He's not just simply talking about just the holding of the gospel, just like, "Oh yeah, the fact that the gospel exists." He says, "Man, this thing got to be told." And that is your responsibility and my responsibility. Let me read this for you. If we have understood the gospel well enough ourselves to be converted, changed, we should know it well enough to tell someone else how to be converted, changed. And I'm going to insert this. And if we don't know it well enough to tell someone how to be converted and changed, then how did you get converted and changed? If you don't understand how you're converted and changed, and how what is going on? All right, glory to God. Here, we're going to wrap up right here, because we got some more worship to do too, to get ourselves, watch this, prime for our witnessing. Seven truths for witnessing. Here's seven things to keep in mind to exercise that will help you and me in our daily witness. Number one, don't just wait for witnessing opportunities to happen, but intentionally get into situations where evangelism can occur. Come on now, put yourself in the midst of, you know, that group that you try to avoid because, well, they don't think like you, they don't act like you. Okay, you're right, because they don't know what you know. They don't have a relationship with the Jesus that you have. So let me put myself into that circle. Hey, let me go out to lunch with them rather than always avoiding them. Watch this. Somehow acting like, you know, we're better than them. Or somehow acting like, you know, what you do is going to contaminate me so I can't hang around you. Witnessing, witnessing, witnessing. Number two, to turn a conversation into a spiritual direction, ask the person how you can pray for them. A lot of times you just listen to people. You all know it. People will start telling you that their hurts, their pains, their fears. And you can turn that conversation spiritual real quick by just simply saying, let me pray for you on that. See, then you pray for them. Watch this. They bow their head, close their eyes. You didn't pray for them. And then you tell them the gospel. Now, this is why I'm able to pray for you and why I have an expectation that what I've prayed is going to be a change in your life because of what God has done for all humanity through Christ Jesus. He redeemed all humanity unto himself, and he's holding no fault against us. But the only way you connect with that is by embracing Jesus as Lord, Savior, and King. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done that? Well, if they're not sure, I'm not sure. Well, we're going to make sure today. You got opportunities. Number three, please, 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 don't make yourself the center of witnessing. Now, here's what I mean by that. You can make yourself the center of witnessing when you're, you know, in constant contemplation of what are they going to think of me? How are they going to respond to me? What is going on with me? You're making yourself the center of the witness. Get out of there. Come on, make Jesus and the potential new connection the center. I don't want to see this person be able to, you know, wind up ending this life here and spending, you know, an eternity in damnation. And in case we don't realize, we've been abruptly reminded just this past week of how suddenly somebody can be taken right away from us. And again, I can rest in the comfort of the revelation and truth to know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I know exactly where he is now. But let's not, you know, make any mistake about it. That still doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. That still doesn't mean it's not, you know, devastating. Nobody woke up, you know, that morning and like, okay, you know, my son's going to be gone by the end of the day. My husband's going to be gone. My father's going to be gone. So there's still a devastation that's there. But we rejoice in the fact to know that it ain't over. This is not a goodbye. This is just a see you later. We're going to connect again. And see, when you have that kind of perspective of reality in place, watch this, then we need to be urgent about expressing this gospel. Come on, you don't want to see anyone in your family, anyone on your job, anyone in your neighborhood, anyone at your church to wind up passing and then spending eternity in utter damnation. You don't want to see that. Well, how do they connect? That's on you and me now. Be the witnesses. Be a constant witness, praise God. Number four says this, give them an authentic, accurate, and proper image of the biblical Jesus. Please. There's so many notions built out of, you know, emotion and psychology and philosophy about Jesus. Give them a clear image of who the biblical Jesus is. Because without that clear representation, then we have to really wonder, well, what Lord are they really submitting to? What King are they really giving over to? What Savior are they really embracing? They don't see Jesus properly yet. Give them an accurate and proper image of the authentic Jesus. Number five is this. Love people right where they are and give them the vision of who they can be. That's what the gospel naturally does. The gospel naturally gives you a vision of what you can be. You're feeling like, man, I can't believe how I messed up my life. I can't believe I did this. I can't believe how this went wrong. I can't believe how that went wrong. But the gospel comes in and says, yes, but your future can be so much better. All because of what God has done for you through Christ Jesus. Come on, embrace that, praise God. So give people, praise God, you know, a vision of their future. Love them right where they are. And when I say love them right where they are, you're not talking about their behavior. Now, I had to say that for church folks and folks that's been around church for years. Because you want to. I ain't going to say we on that one. You want to. Always focus on what they're doing. Focus on what's been done for them. And share that gospel and that good news, praise God. And watch this. And then trust that God in his grace and his power and his anointing, he'll be able to help them with their issues. Just like he's helping you. Oh, well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, he's helping all of us, praise God. Uh-huh. Number six is this. Communicate to people that their future is more important to you than their past. So again, help them to pull away from that past thinking. You know, a lot of times individuals, especially if maybe they've had some kind of introduction to religion, they're thinking to themselves, I need to get better before I can come to Jesus. So they're thinking of their past. Don't let their past take center stage. As you're witnessing, make sure Jesus and the gospel stay center stage. It doesn't matter about your past. You don't understand what I just did 5 minutes ago. Yeah, it was 5 minutes ago. It's still a part of your past. Now, let's deal with this gospel that's working on your present and your future. This love that Almighty God has for you. The last one is just simply this. Create space where people begin to crave what God desires for them. So when you become a skillful witness in this, you start to create the space and the atmosphere where people are leaning in to like, wait a minute, what's so different? I know, you know, John Maxwell, he tells, you know, the story, Christian, and, you know, really recognized as a leadership guru, you know, for this generation all across the world. Goes to various companies, churches, you know, as well, you know, just teaching, you know, on leadership. And He shared, just from his own experience, this is what he does. He said, I go into these secular environments, these corporate businesses, you know, Fortune 500, Fortune 100, and I'm presenting, you know, these things on leadership, and I'll give them, you know, five keys to effective leadership. And I'll give them the first four, and then stop. He says, now, that's the end of, you know, presentation. The fifth one, you know, is really kind of, you know, just dealing with my faith. It's really, you know, the bedrock of everything, the foundation. He says, but, you know, I understand the setting that I'm in. So, hey, I'm not going to include that on this presentation. However, if you'd like to hear about that, you know, just stay with me for the next, you know, few minutes, and I'll be glad to share it with you. He's like, 80% of people stay. 80% of people stay. What's going on? Because they're just like, wait a minute. You've done this. And watch this. And he's given the credit to Christ. They want to know a little bit more. It winds up creating an atmosphere and space where people are craving what God desires for them. That's what we want to do. Exercise these things. Now, here's what we're going to do this week. Here's what we're going to do. Number one is this. Make sure that you're praying every single day for evangelistic opportunities. Father, give me divine appointments, people that I can connect with just to be able to share your gospel. Come on, not my opinion, not any religion. Let me just be able to share your gospel and get out of the way. And then trust God that those opportunities are there all this week. And whatever you do, seize those opportunities. Listen, let us all make sure that we seize at least three opportunities this week. Whether that's on a job, whether that's at the grocery store, you know, whether that's at the light, be like, hey, pull over. You know, whatever the case may be, seize the opportunity to be able to share the gospel. And watch this, and then get out the way. We're not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation. Let's share this gospel and let the power do his work, praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, stand up on your feet with me right here. Let's just honor the one that the gospel is all about. This amazing love that we have from Almighty God. He is phenomenal. He is holy. He is wonderful. He is worthy. Let's praise and worship him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. So before you, you silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. Come on, you have no rival. Come on, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. Come on. What a powerful name. Yeah. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. Christ my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. You have no rival. Come on. You have no equal. Now and forever, God. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. Yeah. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. Come on and lift up your voice in worship. Yes, Jesus our King, Jesus our everything. We lift our hands unto you and magnify. We worship you, Lord, and give you praise and glory forever. You have no rival, you have no equal. There's none like you. Now and forever you reign, Lord God. We bless your name. We yield all unto you, Father, and praise you day after day. Glory and honor unto you, our King. Glory and glory we give unto you everything. So wonderful and amazing you are, hallelujah. So glorious you are, hallelujah. We love and magnify your name. We sing our praise to you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Olomosere, hallelujah, hallelujah, Father, we worship you and magnify your name. We cherish the times to be silent in your presence. Yes, to hear your voice. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. In moments of worship, moments of silence and solitude is a great ingredient in atmosphere for miracles, signs, and wonders, operations of gifts of the Spirit, just giving God the space to do and say whatever he'd want to say. So keep working this all this week. Keep working it. And then let's add on top of it now, letting others know just how amazing Jesus is. What a beautiful name it is. What a powerful name it is. Yeah. Do this with me, please. Everyone bow your heads here in the auditorium, online. Maybe you have yet to step into this relationship with the authentic Jesus, the one that is described in the Bible. Well, you've heard this gospel already. In simple terms, again, it's the fact that Almighty God now, through Christ Jesus, has redeemed all of humanity, and he holds no fault against us. That's whether you have considered yourself a Christian or not. That's what he has already done. He put his love on the line. But the way to connect with that, which is equally important, is by embracing Jesus Christ of Nazareth as your Savior, as your Lord, and as your King. So if you've never done that, maybe you've done some other things, some other religious activities, but if you've never done that, I want to pray for you, and I want to pray with you today. I want to introduce you to the one who makes all things new. So our heads are bowed, eyes are closed in prayer. If that's you, I want to pray for you, and I want to pray with you. This is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to ask everyone online, here in the auditorium as well. Let's just lift up two hands unto heaven. Hallelujah. Say this out loud with me. Father God, thank you again for loving me and giving to me your best, Jesus, my Savior, my Lord, and now my King. I turn my back on sin and I embrace your gospel today. Amen. Come on, that's a good place to rejoice right there. Hallelujah. We embrace your gospel today, Father, that you indeed have redeemed, bought us back, all of humanity, unto yourself, that we can be in relationship and one with you, and you hold no fault against us. Thank you so much, Daddy. Listen, if you prayed that prayer with us for the very first time out of the sincerity of your heart, whether you're present or if you're online, please let us know. Online, you can text the word decided to the number that you'll see come up in the chat or on the screen, 954-280-2076. Also, when you do that, we will send you an electronic link so that you can connect with our electronic devotional. It's a tremendous resource for you just to be able to get things jump-started in your life. So as you do that, look for that link, open it up, and take advantage of that right away. If you're present and you'd like to get a hold of one of those devotions, we have some printed copies available. So as you're exiting, just ask one of our leaders as you're exiting. They'll be glad to put one into your hands, praise God. We are here to make sure that we proclaim this gospel. This is a core discipline for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's witness. And that comes with our mouth. Praise God for our life example. Let's keep a strong example. Watch this, because the words of our mouth have little meaning if our example is not there. They go hand in hand. But we can't forget the importance of these words, praise God. And think about it. Think about it this way. And please, don't discount the fact that God will use the words from your mouth to actually shape someone else's destiny, their salvation, their eternity, all from the words coming from your heart and your mouth. So treat it reverently, because it is very, very significant and serious. Absolutely love you. We bless you. We're declaring God's anointing and best, for you. Regardless of what's going on still with COVID-19 and the Delta variant and any other variant, we're saying that you are whole, that you are well, and you are healed in Jesus' name. Do not live by fear, but live by faith. Praise God. We love you. Blessings to you. We'll see you next week.